let me read the scripture. I'm coming from Psalms 34, and what I realized, and John did Psalms 34 last Sunday, but Psalms 34, verses 1 through 9. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let me exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from my fears. They looked unto him, and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamped round about them that feared him, and delivered them. Oh, taste and see, the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no one to them that fear him. And I want to read it from another version as well. It's the Good News. No, it's the Message. And it reads as thus. He says, I bless God every chance I get. My lungs expand with his praise. I live and breathe God. If things aren't going well, hear this and be happy. Join me in spreading the news. Together, let's get the word out. God let me be more than halfway. He freed me from my anxious fears. Look at him. Give him your warmest smile. Never hide your feelings from him. When I was desperate, I called out, and God got me out of a tight spot. God's angel set up a circle of protection around me while we prayed. Open your mouth and taste. Open your eyes and see how good God is. Blessed are you who run to him. Worship God if you want the best. Worship opens doors to all his goodness. You can be seated. So in this psalm, this is a psalm from David, and this is when David was running from Abimelech.
Yeah.
And he was acting crazy.
Amen.
He acted crazy before the Abimelech, and they let him go. And I want to just kind of read that scripture to you all briefly. It's a short passage. Somebody being fake about it. Okay? And most of the churches That's what we're doing today. We are trying to worship you into a praise that you should already have on your heart. That should already be in your mouth. Not something that we're putting in your mouth, not something that we're trying to get you aroused to do, but for you to seek God of your own and in your own relationship to want to give him worship. So in this psalm, it talks about, first thing he says is, I will do this. I mean, he has a purpose. His worship is personal. It's not somebody else's worship. It's not, you know, your neighbor's worship. It is your own personal worship.
Amen.
Out of the experience that you have had.
Yes.
And some of us have had some really, really troubling experiences.
Yes.
Some of us are hurting inside because we don't feel like we belong. Some of us are sick and we're not telling everybody. Just because we're up here dressed looking nice does not mean that we're not going through anything.
Amen.
Some of us have pains and aches and yet we're smiling and all we can do is give God praise. Thank you, Lord, for who you are. You are my healer. Thank you, Lord, for bringing me out of my trials.
Yes.
When I didn't have any money, you had money. You provided money so that I could eat. Thank you, Lord. I give you worship, Lord, because now I understand you as a provider. I understand you as a healer. When I was sad, I understand you as my joy and my peace. So, you know, we have to give God worship for who we are, for who he is. We need to worship him out of the depths of our soul. You know, when you think about the scripture, it says, I will serve the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind.
Yeah.
With every ounce of being that I have, because without my mind, I can't think. Without my heart, I can't live, because it's got to pump that blood all through my body. And without my soul, I have no connection to God. But if I am connected to God, then what I should be doing is every day giving God worship.
Yeah.
Worship, for he has breathed the breath of life into me. Worship because he has saved me. Worship him because he is my strength, my shelter, my buckler, my high tower. He is my protector.
Yeah, yeah.
And I should give him all the worship that I can give him.
Yeah.
I shouldn't be lax on that.
Amen.
I should not be lax. I get up in the morning, I need to worship him. When I'm on my work, I need to worship.
Amen.
It is personal.
Yes.
It is of my own doing. It is not forced.
Yes. Yes.
But it's because I choose to do it.
Yes.
Amen.
Our worship, second, our worship should be purposeful.
Yes, it should.
It shouldn't be just any old kind of worship.
Yes.
I shouldn't just be walking around just. But my worship is also in my conversation.
Mm-hmm.
It's also in my behavior,
mm-hmm.
so that I am drawing people to God. Not to me, but mm-hmm. to God. My worship has to be purposeful.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look about the Old Testament, and especially the books of the history, what you see is Israel. Israel. And, you know, God said, I am your God,
mm-hmm.
and you are my people.
Yes.
And all he desired from them was their worship. That's all he desired.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted them to be purposeful about their worship.
Mm.
But the thing about the children of Israel, they couldn't get it right. They always looked at their circumstances instead of looking at the blessings that God had given unto them.
Mm-hmm.
How he had opened, how he had delivered them out of the land of from the Egyptians, how he opened the Red Sea, how he gave them victory in battle, how he gave them a land that was full of fruit and honey. All that he had done while they were wandering in the wilderness, he provided food, their clothes didn't get torn, but they couldn't see what God has done. Therefore, they couldn't worship God, and they were not purposeful. And they had king after king that would lead them into sin because they did not understand the goodness of God.
Yeah.
They did not understand. They could not see what God had done for them.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't put themselves in a relationship with God, you know, because of God, what God was doing. They just couldn't get there.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to be purposeful in our worship.
Yes.
We have to understand that God pursued us. While he pursued us, he also expects us to acknowledge him,
mm-hmm.
to acknowledge that he is the Almighty God, to acknowledge that he is the Alpha and Omega, to acknowledge that he is the Rose of Sharon, that he is the branch, that he is the way, the truth, and the life.
Amen.
He wants us to acknowledge that to him.
Yeah.
And if we don't acknowledge it, then what we're saying is, we don't care about you.
Amen.
If we want to reference somebody, we don't say, oh yeah, they're just friends. You know, that's just a coworker. But if I want to honor my pastor, I'm going to tell people he's a humble man. He shows love to his congregation.
Yes.
He stands on the wall for us.
Yes.
He's there when we need him. If we call him in the middle of the night, he's going to show up. Or he's going to give us a word.
Mm-hmm.
You show the love that you have for somebody. Same thing with my dad.
Yeah.
If I want to honor him, I'm going to reference him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say how good he has been and all that he's done and where he has stood and how he has brought people
mm-hmm.
that he didn't even know to Christ.
Yeah.
Just by his conversation
mm-hmm.
and by the way he acts among people. He's not up there getting mad and getting ugly when somebody makes them mad or somebody does something wrong. He's not up there. Who do you think you are? I don't know what you know how we used to say we put our vision on the shelf
yeah.
and then we go pray and then we take it off the shelf and put it back on. We can't do that.
Amen.
As Christians, we can't do that.
Yeah.
Because when God pursued us, he made us a new creature. So we should be that old man right where it is.
Amen.
And every day just thank God and worship God for what he has done in our life, for how he has moved in our life. For, you know, for the many, many, many times that he has kept us from being in an accident, or for the many, many times that he has opened up the door for us to have a promotion when we didn't see it.
Amen.
We need to work and we need to be purposeful
yeah.
about our worship.
Amen.
Purposeful.
Yeah.
I mean, and I say that sincerely. In September, the ceiling in our house, in our bedroom fell.
Mm-hmm.
It literally fell on the bed.
Yeah. Mm.
Not just one part of it, but 3/4 of the ceiling fell.
Wow.
And the first portion that fell on my husband's side of the bed.
Ooh.
And if you look where it fell, it would either broke his neck
Ooh.
Or crushed his skull.
Ooh.
And so you know what? I had to just stop and say, you know what? I thank you, Lord. I worship you. Because you are an awesome God. You knew before the beginning of time
mm-hmm.
that this would happen. And you placed everybody in the right place in the house
yes.
so that this would not touch us.
Yeah. Mm.
That this would not touch us.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you think about all that he's done, I remember when I was sick one time and I was near death.
Mm.
And I didn't have anybody around me but my brother. And he looked at me and I said, you need to pray. You need to be praying, be praying. But I mean, when you think about the goodness of God,
yeah, yes.
you can't help but to give him worship.
Amen.
You can't help but to give him worship.
Say it.
And my third point is, our worship is to a person.
Yes, it is.
It's to a person.
Yes.
And that person is God.
Yes,
in the Old Testament, you see Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. And it speaks about the Trinity.
Uh-huh.
All three of them working together to bring about a purpose that God had in mind. But in the New Testament, you see them acting differently. In the New Testament, you see God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, and God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And in that, you see that God is, wait a minute, let me get it. God creates the plan. Jesus Christ implements the plan, and the Holy Spirit administers the plan.
Yes.
Because what happened was, while God had his plan, he sent his son, Jesus Christ, into the world that he could walk among us like men to show us how we should act, how we should walk, what we should say. And then when he went to take our sins to the cross so that we would not have to die for our own sin, because the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life, so that we wouldn't have to receive death. He sent his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross. And when he died on the cross, he sent a comforter, the Holy Spirit, that would live in us and reside in us, so that we would have something that would help us to do what God has called us to do. So that we would have a way or a means, something that would, when we get ready to do wrong, that would tell us, that is not right. Mm-hmm. You know it's not right. You know that's not God's plan for you. You need to change that thought, or you need to change that action. So the Holy Spirit is there, and we as a people, as Christians, we are to exemplify what God has put in place. Mm-hmm. We are to tell others about God, about Jesus, and about God and his love. For the love of this, and so that we can be better, so that we can continue to draw all men unto God. So, as we think about these things, as we think about how our worship should be, that our worship should first be personal.
Yeah.
Because it really is about us. And it's about what God has done for us. It really is about how he has moved in our lives, how he's opened doors that no man can open and shut doors that no man can close, how he's made a way out of no way when we don't see it. Yes. Our worship is purpose, how he's healed us,
yes,
how he's brought us out of darkness, how he's renewed us, how he's opened up our minds to see him, how he has called us forth for a purpose that is only designated to you, that only he has called you to do. He's only, what I do, somebody else can't do. So if he's called me to minister to Missionary Rudell and I don't do it, he's going to call somebody else. But it might not be the exact words that he would want her to have. But he's going to get his plan across. We need to be purposeful. We need to be very, very sincere and not just playing around and not just acting like, you know, well, worship is what worship is.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to understand that God has, he is a jealous God, and that he desires everything that we have. He desires that we give him the best of what we have.
Amen.
Part of worship, as you saw, we took an offering, our tithes and our offering. That is part of worship.
Yeah.
It's saying that, look, I might not have much, but I'm going to give you the first fruits of what you have provided. And I know that you're going to bless me. It might not be blessed financially, but when I don't think I have another dime to get some food, you're going to provide for me. When I think that I might be sick, you're going to heal me. Those are the things that God is looking at when we worship him, when we do it sincerely. Because if you're giving your money grudgingly, guess what? You might as well hold on to it yourself. You might as well keep it in your purse and go on about your business, because he does not want somebody to give grudgingly to him. He wants them to give with a cheerful heart, just like he wants us to give our worship with a cheerful heart, with a joyful heart. Even when we're sad, mm-hmm, he wants us to give it freely just because of who he is. And
yeah,
then second of all, that we are the example for Jesus Christ. Thirdly, I'm sorry, that we are the example of worship for other people.
Amen.
To draw them to the Father so that they might see him and they might experience him, that they might be able to receive what we have. This is why we ought to be purposeful, purposeful, and worship a person.
Amen.
God bless you this morning.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise you, Lord.